Blue Apron Big Back Dinner.
Welcome to the Liars Club. I'm Felicia Michaels.
And I'm Jessica Welling.
And what we do here at the Liars Club is we have two of our comedy pals come on. We ask them to tell two stories. One is the truth. One is a lie. We try to figure out which one is the lie, along with people that are playing live with us through the stream. Mr. Jason C. Borland, Mr. Kia Carbasi, hope I'm saying that correctly, and Jason Marino. Would you please introduce our guest, Jessica?
Oh, I thought you would never ask. Thank you so much. I'm so excited. This gentleman, I haven't seen him in so long. I met him whenever I was up in Sacramento. He wrote the book Robert Barry's Big Book of Jokes, and he'll be appearing in Bob Rubin's Netflix comedy special on May 19th. This is Mr. Robert Barry.
Hey, thanks for having me on the show.
Woo-hoo! She has a movie coming out here soon, 2 Minutes of Fame. It's being released this month, so please watch out for that. You can see the trailer online now, and you've seen her on Comedy Central. This is Crystal Powell.
With us today is Mr. Michael Evans, our on-air producer. As people tell their stories, he's going to write them down, and then we're going to recap the stories quickly at the end and take a group vote. Doesn't that sound like fun, everybody? So, Crystal, since you've played this game before, let's start with you telling your first story. Could you just be even more cutie pie than you are right now, goddamn it?
Well, you know, I just love you. Felicia, I need you in my home at all times for my affirmations daily because you just make me feel the best. Well, as we all know, we've been quarantining, so a sister has been learning how to cook. And with that, I've also been working out. So the other night, yesterday, for Cinco de Mayo, I've been going to the Mexican restaurant, and that's where, I mean, the Mexican market, and that's where y'all need to go when you worried about having stores not be restocked. You got to go to the Mexican markets because they have everything. So I went there and I got me some carne asada because I got me a grill now, so I know how to make it. So Taco Tuesday fell on a Tuesday of Cinco de Mayo and I was ready. So I grilled my carne asada. I had my tortillas, and my girlfriend that's from Guatemala told me, hey, if you want your, what's the little flour ones? You either do flour or corn. You got to put, what?
Tortillas.
Tortillas. Yep. She said, if you want to make them fresh, you wrap them in the towel. And I was like, oh, okay. So I had done that. So I did my little tortillas, put them
in the towel.
Huh?
You wet the towel.
See, there you go. Learn a new thing. They didn't tell me that. They just said, wrap them up in there. Good to know, because Taco Tuesday is my favorite day now.
But I think she just told you to fuck off, Jessica.
Felicia Instagram, you too pretty for that. Anyway, so my tortillas had everything ready. And then, you know, carne asada, it only take maybe about 15 minutes to make on my new grill. Shout out to Bed Bath & Beyond. Okay, so I'm cutting up my carne asada. I got out my little green verde. I got my salsa mix, cut up my carne asada. But because we're quarantining and everybody's in the house and I don't want to do all these damn dishes, I was working on a paper plate. So by me being on a paper plate, when I was cutting up my carne asada, I dropped all my meat on my COVID-19 infested ass floor. And I've been having to record my videos. So I was recording a video of a home video of what I'm doing cooking with Crystal. So on the video, everybody saw that my carne asada had hit the floor. So I had to hurry up and turn my camera off and pretend like I was going to throw it away, because I could not for the life of me in my deep soul throw away a pound of carne asada that I had got to celebrate Cinco de Mayo and Taco Tuesday. So I ate it off camera. My story. Okay? You will notice all of this pertains to food and me working out. Y'all ready for my second door? I go right into my second door.
We're going to rotate.
Got it. All right. Almost share, Barry. Mm-hmm. That's it. Eat it off the flow. Eat it off the flow. Sorry. It just pops out every now and then.
Now, are you quarantining alone?
Me?
Yeah.
Yes, I wouldn't have ate that off the flow in front of nobody. You heard me say I had to turn the camera off.
A pound of carne asada, that's kind of a lot of carne asada for a little girl, like for a delicate flower.
Well, see, that's the thing. you have it first. You do your whole little thing. You have it first for your tacos. You got to improvise. Come on, you're showing your white privilege. So you eat the carne asada the first night. Then in the morning, you have carne asada and eggs. Then that evening, you have a loaded baked potato with carne asada. So I done got four meals just off some carne asada. You thought I was going to throw that away? That's four meals. Sorry, that was...
You just called me a Karen, and I accept it. Okay. Here's my other question. So you got a brand new griller from Bed Bath & Beyond. Did you get it after the quarantine started or before?
Before the quarantine started, right before. Because you got to realize, California, we started early. So I got it early, and I'm so glad that I got it because I don't cook well. I'm not a really good, you know, I'm getting there, you know. I'm getting there. However, the grill helps me out a whole lot better. I just have to make sure to turn on my air vent because my smoke alarm go off and my neighbors done got to the point now they be texting me to my, Crystal, you cooking? Don't ask me a question you already know. We know we hear the fire alarm. It's going off in a second.
Are you grilling indoors?
Yes, bitch. It's on top of the stove. Didn't you just hear me say I got to turn the air vent on because it be in here smoky and my whole floor be like, uh-oh, Crystal's cooking.
You're not using it. It's not a charcoal grill, is it?
It's like a cast iron grill. I ain't going to burn down the place just because, good gracious. It's like a cast iron that you can put on the top of your, the topical. Yeah. And I have a gas stove.
In your apartment, Jessica. You're the Karen, Jessica.
She's like, is that up to code? I don't think that's up to code now. Yeah. Is that covered in your renter's insurance?
I've been robbed a few times. I definitely have renter's insurance now.
Do we have any questions?
Going once, going twice, 25, 35, 45, 55, going once.
All right. Let's move on to Robert's first story.
Robert.
Hey. I don't know if I could top that. That's quite a tale there. Easter just came by real recently, and it reminded me that my kids are grown now. My son is 20 years old. My daughter's 23. My son Wyatt. And he always loved Easter so much. When he was like 4 and 5 years old, it was the greatest thing. And I had this trick that I would do with my son where I would put all the eggs in the backyard to hide. And he was upstairs on the second floor. So I'd open the back door to the backyard and I'd say, Wyatt, come on down. The Easter Bunny's in our yard right now. You can come and see it. And then he would sprint down, practically kill himself going down the stairs. And as soon as he'd get to the back door, I'd say, oh, man, he just jumped over the fence. And he'd be so mad, like you just missed him, you know. And then so for 3 years straight, I do this. And on the third year, I kind of broke him, you know. He's just like, every year it's the same thing. I always miss him. He's like, he's crying, like, oh, no, you know. And so I thought, well, I got to make it up to him. So I take him on a little hike down by the American River Trail. It's a river trail in Sacramento. And eat that Easter morning. And we're walking along, and I see this purple egg on the trail. And like, wow, look at that. Why? And he picks it up and opens it. And there's a little toy dinosaur inside. We find another egg, and there's like a quarter. One of them had a dollar bill wadded up into it. We keep finding all these eggs, and I thought that's real nice. Somebody put some eggs for kids to find on the trail here. And as we turn around, we see this little blonde girl with her family walking in the opposite direction, and they goes, we're going to find some eggs. And she has one, but we had picked up all the eggs that they had hidden for her. And my son looks at me, and I just said, shh, and we just kept walking. And this is, you know, really weird Easter. And then we turn the corner, about a half a mile away, we get away. And there's a college couple having sex against a tree on Easter morning. This dude's railing her from behind, her top's off. And they both look at us. And then she laughs. And she's looking at my son with eye contact as she's putting her clothes back on. And he doesn't know what's going on. And I just... we walk past, and I'm just, how do you address this with your kid, you know? And I said, well, that's crazy that those naked, yeah, how those naked people dancing, you know? And I never said anything about it again, and he never asked about it again. And just this year, I was bringing that story up. I was curious what he remembered. He goes, oh, yeah, that time that we saw people having sex and you said they were dancing. He knew the whole time. I was trying to protect him, but yeah.
How did you know they were in college? Were they like doing a beer bong or did they just seem smart?
They seemed really smart. They had protractors out. No, they had, it was like, you know, they had like a Sac State Hornets hoodie on and they looked of the age. I mean, one of them looked like they were, the college is nearby. Okay. If you're into river fucking, that's a good place to go.
He doesn't like the river fuck.
I've only been fingered by a river.
You got fingered by it?
But
oh, next to a river or the yeah, or the yeah, river fingered you?
No, River Phoenix fingered her.
Good one. I love it.
Wait. Oh, what was so funny as you were telling that first part of the story was so wholesome and sweet. There's a guy on here, Jack Stellano, and he's like, I'm horny. Use your vibrator, whores. And you were telling like the sweetest, most wholesome part of the story. And I was like, wow, that's
so it really came through for Jack by the end. Then he came in his face when he heard the ending and it was great.
Yeah, he got right off of it right after that.
Robert, did your son ever get to see the Easter Bunny or did he keep crying every year?
No, I after that year, I just told him it wasn't real, and he was cool with that. It was more traumatic that every year he missed him than I think learning he wasn't. I think learning he wasn't real made him feel it wasn't so bad. But
all right, well there you go. Any questions, anybody? Any question? Did you blame the lie on his mother, Jason?
Always do.
Okay. Pretty much. Okay, there you go. All right. Well, Jason Marina says that he can believe that. As a Boy Scout, we came across a naked couple while backpacking. There you go. Yeah. I don't think I've ever stumbled across anyone having sex. Have you?
Never? In LA?
Yo, one time I was playing Spokane Comedy Club and I got into town at like 4 a.m. to get in. So gigs were the next day. So I go to the Airbnb and we thought we're going to be the only ones in the house, but I guess they rent out multiple rooms. And basically walk into the Airbnb like 4 a.m, there's just a, on the couch in the living room, right when you walk in, there's just a couple fucking, they're both completely naked. And she's like spread wide open. It was crazy, man. And they just turned around like, whoa, we're so sorry. And so we just went out by the car for a little while and then went back in and went to bed.
Wow. The only thing I ever had, I used to have this really handsome boyfriend named Pablo. He was this Cuban guy. He's so fucking beautiful, you guys. Oh my God. Anyway, we were having sex by the ocean, not river fucking, but ocean fucking. In Florida, just to top off the picture. And then these helicopters, like these Navy or Army helicopters came, but they were way off in the distance. And in Florida, you know how they have the dunes, right? We were in the middle of a dune, and I was totally bent over, and he was hammering mine. And I was my face towards the ocean. And then I could see the helicopter, and then it came closer and closer, and then it was like, get off of me! And they were, like, hovering. My hair was blowing all over. I had that experience, but never thinks. I'll share another picture about me fucking later in the podcast. Let's move on to Crystal's second story.
I want to hear more, Felicia. I want to hear more.
Oh, you will.
All right. So, like I said, I've been cooking and I've been eating, so I've been detoxing. And then I went and bought me a bicycle. And I'm happy to say in the last 5 days, I've ridden 82 miles in just 5 days. So I got on my ride and I was like, "Ooh, getting ready to get on my ride." And probably like a mile into my ride up to Lancashire, I noticed that the detox had started to work. So my guts had started to bubble and to burn, and I was getting that cramping sensation that means, hey, you've got to poo really quickly. Well, Hazeltine is like a mile from my house. So it was like, do I turn around? Do I keep going? Checking the different houses. Who has rings? Who doesn't? Construction on the high school because it's closed down. So I duck off like Ezel in Friday
to use the restroom. Okay, so I'm sorry to say that I wasn't embarrassed enough to use the best bathroom on the side of the road without toilet tissue. I didn't turn back and go home since I felt like I had conquered this and I was okay. I continued on to my ride to go all the way down Chandler to the bike trail on Lancashire, do another 6 miles, and then bring my shitty booty ass home.
You're going to go wipeless? You can keep working?
Well, see, this is why it worked, because unfortunately, if you're under the age of 13, detox means that it's just not always as sturdy as it normally is. So it was like I was urinating. So I just waggled and kept going. But my dumb ass kept the ride going instead of going home after I was super nasty. I'm eating off the floor. I'm shitting outside. What the fuck is this quarantine doing to me? But I'm going to be fine when it's over with. Watch. Yeah. Get the detox tea, ladies. You can eat carne asada every day and it'll shed right off of you.
I got a question. Here's the thing. I've gone through, is that what's going on? I haven't had any alcohol, fast food, anything the whole quarantine. And I've gone through these crazy phases of just like stomach is insane. Feel like shit, diarrhea constantly for like 4 straight days. Is that what's going on? Because it's a good sign.
Yeah, it's a good time. The more you defecate, the better. Like, you're flushing it all out. And right now, because we're on quarantine, we're eating different than what we normally have. Like, I used to eat out all the time, but now I'm eating different. And it's good. It's flushing our system out. You're losing weight. You're not worried. You already got to snatch waist. But I'm trying to lose about 15 pounds more after quarantine because I done lost about 5. You see my clavicle, right? You see it, don't you? You see it, right? Detox tea, bitches. Get into it.
All I'm saying is that this is the worst time to have to go to the bathroom because no one's letting you use their public restrooms. No one.
Nobody. No one. And then do you really want to use a public restroom? No, you don't, because you're going to be in some confined, somebody else done been in there. So as long as don't nobody have a ring on their front door, I don't see nothing wrong with right now me copping a squat. And if anybody got a problem with it, I'm like, bitches, people dying out here from COVID-19. You worried about me shitting on the side of the road? I covered it with dirt. It's worse things that we can be upset about.
What's up with this being defensive? This makes me think that your diarrhea story while bicycling is incorrect. That it's
well, I'm telling you, you're just going to have to figure it out.
Okay. even Jason Borland said she's just busted, right? Too defensive. Too defensive.
What was the name of the bike? Okay, my bike is called Alyssa 2, and she's yellow. And her new name is
called Alyssa.
Alysa2. It goes for $325, but I got it on Facebook Marketplace. Thank you, Jesus. And he brought it to me, and it was $80. And then I took it right there to the bike connection on Fulton and got a tune-up. And I was like, I'm not going to pay more for the tune-up than I paid for the bike because Jesus paid. I only paid $80. So there, go up there and ask Lulu at the bike connection on Fulton and Ventura if you don't believe a bitch. Real hot girl shit. Oh, I'm sorry. I've been drinking. I'm in my bag, and so it's tough.
This is a good podcast.
You know what's so funny is that I've been wanting to get a bicycle. I want to get a bicycle too.
Look, seriously, look at this. Look at this. I'm not talking shit. I hope y'all can see this. I'm super proud of this. Look at this. Can you see this?
No, we see.
Look at my rides.
All right.
That's amazing.
But the crux of the story here is the diarrhea by bicycling. So do you have pictures of you diarrheaing all of that? Let's see that fucking proof.
Yeah, sure.
You want me to go get my biker shorts because I wasn't wearing panties that day and I ain't done laundry because it was just the other day.
I got
a couple of streaks, Felicia, if you just want proof. Damn. Let me see your drawers. If I see your drawers, then I believe it. Show me the shit, Crystal.
So it wasn't a lot.
No, I told you it was watery, so it was like a McFlurry. It's a chopper.
McFlurries for the rest of us. All right. I think we've covered this pretty extensively.
Somebody said that's a number 7.
Robert, top hat.
Oh, man. I don't know. I
I ain't never shit that much before, you know. But I never detoxify long enough for that to happen because I eat garbage nonstop. So there's the problem, I guess. But I used to run a website called RetroCrush.com. It was a very popular pop culture site. I got to interview a lot of people. And I had written a review of a movie called The Devil's Rejects by Rob Zombie. Very cool movie. It's got Sid Haig's a murderous clown in it. And it's a great, bloody, old school kind of movie. And I wrote a review of it. And about 3 months later, one night, I get an email, and it's from Rob Zombie, who directed and wrote the film. And he said, "Hey, I saw your review, and I just want to tell you it's fantastic. And you get it, man." And I'm laughing because, like, he's clearly, like, just looking for references to himself in Google to see what people are saying about him. So I said, "Thanks." And we went back and forth a couple times. So I thought, I don't know. And, you know, I remember every now and then he'd throw in his two cents of, like, "Oh, yeah, I hated that Wolfman movie, too," or just something. You know, he would add his some feedback. So he was going to be playing at a town called Modesto at this little club called The Fat Cat. And he said I could interview him in person before the show. Well, I thought I was going to do that. That sounds pretty great. So I show up, and he's got one of those trailers out back behind the club. And they tell me just to go right out back there. And I go into the trailer. He goes, "Hold on, I'm almost done watching this." And he's watching this show called Man Versus Food. I don't know if you remember that show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he's like, I said, "Oh, who's he versing against?" And he was eating a big old burrito. And then he didn't want to start the interview until the guy was through. And then I don't think he finished the burrito. The burrito won. And then we're through. And then so I'm asking him questions about his music and his movie career. I thought it was going pretty well. And I had heard that Rob Zombie, when he first broke into Hollywood, had a job working on the set and designing things for Pee-wee's Playhouse. So I asked him, "Hey, what was it like working with Pee-wee Herman?" And he got really quiet and upset. And he just said, I don't like to talk about that. And then he just, he looked really like how someone like Rob Zombie seems so cool and evil and fearless. And then he like something about working with Pee-wee, like really like bothered him to the core, you know? And then he says, "Well, I think we're about done now." And I'm like, "Well, okay." And it was really awkward. I gathered my camera and stuff up, and then I'm walking out. He goes, "Hey, I've got this big salad bowl full of candy here. You want any of it? I don't eat candy." And I said, "Oh, that's okay." And he goes, "Are you sure?" And I grabbed a king-size Snickers bar out of there, you know, and I'm walking out with this souvenir Snickers I got from Rob Zombie. And I'm waiting in line now to get back into the concert hall because this was a couple hours before the show started. And I go to the front window and I said, "My name's on the list." And they say, "Your name's not on the list." I said, "I just interviewed Rob Zombie back there." So she says, "Hold on." And I'm standing next to this lady and she's showing me that she got her boob. Rob Zombie had autographed it and she had it tattooed. And I said, "Well, that's nothing. Rob Zombie gave me this Snickers bar here." And she didn't believe me. But then the lady at the front door says, "All right, Rob says you can come in." And then I winked at her and gave her the Snickers bar and went inside.
And is this a humble brag, you think, Felicia?
I think
name drop. I think
what's important here is I think what the reveal is that something happened with Rob Zombie and Pee-wee Herman. that's worth having to execute a humble brag to get that across. That's interesting as a motherfucker.
I don't know. I was thinking when you were telling that story, if a person seemed eager to get to have a conversation with you for an interview or whatever reason, because if you made it seem like he was kind of like coming towards you first for this interview, right? Mm-hmm. Right. I think a person like that, even if he had a tiff with Pee-wee Herman during his show, I think he is savvy enough to realize what a cultural milestone Pee-wee Herman was and to have some kind of credit in it.
Yeah, you'd think that, but it was really shocking when he got all clammed up about it there. Never knew.
Yeah, I don't know. I love Pee Wee Herman. I did have a Pee Wee Herman scooter. This is what I can bring to the table on this.
Wow. Kept it out by the tanning bed in the barn.
Oh my God. She used to kill butterflies for her collection, so she had just a butterfly collection and a Pee Wee Herman bicycle.
To get to the butterflies, you know what I mean?
So sad.
I mean, and the only thing that we know about Pee Wee that's weird, I guess, the weirdest thing is him jerking off in the theater. But then, I mean, he did. Also, anybody that does a kid's show for long enough probably is a little weird, too. You would think, being around kids all the time. But I don't know that he would. Did we ever hear of him having any, like, crazy drug stories or anything like that that would be super, super weird?
I don't know any stories like that. I mean, I'm not mad at him for jerking it in the theater.
Of course you're not, Felicia.
Right? I mean, he had an era where he had to be so repressed about what was going on with him, especially that had to have been deep-rooted because he was, you know, had this children's show. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like that second story. I don't think that's true. And it's interesting how you changed your style of storytelling between both stories, right? It was two totally different ways you told those stories.
Yeah, it's almost like one of them was true and one of them wasn't.
Hey, fuck you, Robert.
That was the best answer I've ever heard back in police.
Well, Kenny looks expensive. Do you have a question, Kenny?
Pee Wee's Playhouse wasn't really on that long. Honestly, it was maybe a couple years. So, like, that was what was so shocking is because he got caught jerking off, they had to, like shame him or something about that. I don't think this one's true. I don't want this to be true. I want the first story to be true. I want the fucking taking the candy or the money from the other family. I want
that's
that.
Funny.
The fucking in the park. Hell yeah. Let's go with that.
Well, they both sound like Robert Berry stories for damn sure. Because the first story, I can see him doing that in his stand-up or some kind of storytelling. In the second one, he did own a website, Retro Crush. I know that for a fact. And
that's his Twitter handle, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I bought a bike last week.
We're
helps
Strava
me at all.
Together. Yeah. We're both on Strava. We keep up with each other. Jessica, let me ask you, from knowing Robert longer than I just met Robert, what story do you think matches more his storytelling on stage?
That's what I was saying. They both do, though. I mean, but his storytelling on stage, I think, is the first one by far.
Yeah. All right. It seemed more natural. I would say that. Okay, so let's have Michael do the recap, and then we will take a vote.
All right, you're going to start with Crystal, right? All right, so on Crystal's first story, she's been getting in shape and learning to cook since some point into the quarantine. And she's been going to the Mexican market because when shit is all out of control and everything's out of the normal stores, that's secretly the spot to go. And so we should stop saying it on the podcast and just do that ourselves. She gets carne asada for Cinco de Mayo because she's learning to cook some different shit. And her Guatemalan friend sits to wrap it in a towel for her. So she wrapped it in a towel for her. No, wait. Did she or did she not? I know it's not a vital detail.
I wrapped it in a towel, but not with moisture like Jess just told me. I learned that
today.
That's
what it was.
All right, Mariata is the name of the Mexican restaurant. They
word
asked.
Up. Crystal's cutting up her carne asada. She used a paper plate and she cut right through the plate and the carne asada, all 1 pound of it or whatever, which she needed a lot of because without the white priv, you're going to need a lot of meat for a lot of meals. And so it falls through the paper plate, falls on the floor. You're live on the feed. You had to cut the feed so no one saw you eat it off the floor.
Eat it off the floor. COVID-19 all on the floor because I ain't mopping here.
You landed like a pile and you took the top.
No, the bad part about it was I had already cut it up, so it was spread apart. And if I could have just went down and picked all of it up, it would have been cool. But I had to scrape it across the floor to get it in my hand. To get it.
What do you put in your carne asada? What spice?
Nothing. I get the seasoned meat. I want all day juices. I'm an honorary Mexican, if you didn't know me. You know, I bleed queso instead of blood. So I want everything that Maria and Jesus put in their carne asada. That's me.
All day juices.
Jason, he doesn't think that you did that.
He said I had a side of beans. I don't need no side of beans. I just needed my tacos. That was it.
All right. So what did you do once you wrapped up the burritos in the towel? What did you do with the towel then?
Oh, it's not dirty. That's still in my cabinet. I'm going to use that. That's a multi-service. Another thing, white privilege, that towel is now going to wipe the counters because it's not dirty because it only had tortillas in it.
Oh, come on.
She's going to start bringing it on bike rides.
Okay. Multi-purpose towel, carne asada, yeah. Counters, and foot of sweat. 3 for 1.
But you still haven't answered my question. My apologies for my white privilege. So you put the burrito in the towel, the tortilla. Then what did you do? Then you just put it in the towel, just like, okay, now I put it in the towel. Now I'm going to make my burrito. Like, what did you do after you put it in the towel?
I took it out the towel, got me another paper plate, put the tortilla on the towel, and then put my carne asada on top of the tortilla, then put my green verde, then put my salsa mix on there, wrapped it up, set a small grace, and blessed it thoroughly, and ate it.
Did you microwave the tortillas at all?
No, I put them in a little skillet. I just didn't know to put water on them. I put them in a little skillet.
With paper towel?
No, once they get done, I put them in the towel to keep them moist and good and yummy.
Yeah, you can't cook. You can't
cook. Now, that's not a lie. I ain't never said I could cook. I'm learning. And
Jesus Christ, you're a bad cook, Crystal. You can't drop that fucking fact. You're a bad cook.
I must be a bad cook because I heard everything Crystal said. I go, that sounds fine. What are you guys talking about?
Thank you. We there. So you don't please over there like I'm a chef. Like I know to put water on it and all of the goodness. Man, we happy to get a burrito, okay? Yeah. Talking about some sides. Sides? Is this a restaurant? No. Getting some sides.
All right. Speaking of which, in her second story, so she's been cooking, so she's been eating, so she's been detoxing, and she just got a bicycle. She's ridden 82 miles in the last 5 days. And basically, she gets some bubble guts going on a ride recently, like a mile from her house. And it's clear that the detox is setting in, and she's evacuating some things, and it's got to happen right now. And so she just finds a building that's under construction, and she kind of goes and hides away and gets it done. And then instead of heading home after that, she just wipeless hops back on the steed and finishes that 6 mile fucking workout all browned up.
Now you forgot the waddle. You just said I didn't wipe. I know I didn't have anything to wipe with, but I did the shake. You know how like men do it. When y'all go urinate, y'all do the bah, bah, y'all shake. So bah. I did the yeah, bah, bah. In the rear, yeah. You start using it.
Diarrhea off, Crystal. No one takes
it. Have you not seen a big dog when they slobber it and they be like, and it just be going from side to side? That's the only way I can make you see it.
If your butthole does a
let's just say I like it from the back.
All right, I might have had an edible earlier. Okay.
I just think that one's true.
That is true. She did get loose poop from it, but she didn't poop on the side of the road. It's all connected. Her terrible cooked burrito gave her diarrhea when she went on the bicycle ride. I believe that's what he's saying. And he's saying first is true, second is a lie.
I love that you don't think that I have an enlarged butthole. I'll take that. Appreciate that.
I think I think the second story happened, but she just, I think it happened, and that's why it was worth telling, but I think she just went home after, and maybe not even went back on the rest of the bike ride, was just like, you know, kind of disheartened after a loss like that.
But remind you, I got on the biker shorts to help you with riding with the cushions, so the cushions is, remember, true. Felicia wanted proof, she wanted to see the streaks. She was like, show me the streaks.
What color were the bicycle shorts?
Black with blue cushion and the buttocks and the
You know, pro athletes do this all the time, like marathon runners, and they have to go. They just
That's
go.
A good point.
And that, you know, have you ever noticed how people that have sinuses, they can, what is it, a snot rocket, they can go like that and it'll just shoot out? Them cyclists know how to get to the side of the road and get it out of there. I hadn't advanced to that because I had, you got to ride like 100 miles to get to that level, but them cyclists, real quick, bow.
Oh my God, dude.
All right,
necessity.
Take a vote. Let's take a fucking vote.
Somebody Dude. Said a power dump.
Block. Ken says number two is the lie that Crystal did not shit on the side of the road, which is the crux of the story, I believe.
Yeah, I think Kenny's wrong. I think the second one is definitely true. The first one is a lie. She can't cook. She ain't cook.
Just know me. Just know me.
She's not, yeah, she can't cook.
That bitch ain't cooking.
But I believe she could have diarrhea on the side of the road, but I don't think you just shake off diarrhea.
No, she didn't, and you can.
Bop, bop.
She has leftovers.
All right.
And I got a tough line stomach.
Vote? What's your vote, Robert?
I think the bicycle story is the lie.
Okay. And why?
I don't know. I just can't imagine anyone could shake loose all those dribblings like that. That was the there'd be like so. It would look like when you're through, kind of like when you're done washing dishes, some of the corn and stuff that's left in the drain.
I think
you'd have some things like that left still, you know.
Yeah, it'd be like when you're done with a cup noodles and you didn't get all those weird peas and carrots off the bottom.
Yeah, yeah. A little bit of dehydrated veggies and ramen bits to the left, you know.
The ones that didn't quite make the team.
Yeah. A little bit of broth left, you know.
My favorite part after Robert breaks down the diarrhea thing is Michael going, yeah.
I've never felt it's so such relatable stories today. It's so good.
All right, Jason Marino says, yeah, he's going that way too. First story true, second story a lie, and all that. And Jason Borland says, I think she can't resist a shit joke.
You think?
Thanks, Jason, Mr. Observant. Telling my truth.
I think the first story is, well, that's a, I think the first story is true, second is a lie. Right? That's what you said, Jessica, right?
That's not what I said. I think she did.
You think what? So you think the second one is true, the first is?
I don't think she ate off the floor.
Wow, that's fucking funny.
Right, you ate off, you think she ate off the floor, right, Michael?
I think she ate off the floor. I think she shit her pants, but I think she went home.
Oh,
not shit her pants. I think that happened, and I think she went like, man, I think I'm done with the bike for a couple days, you know.
Okay. All right. Which story is the lie, Crystal?
This bitch is not, I'm afraid of COVID-19. I'm not eating off no motherfucking floor because I don't mop enough. It was just a small amount of, and yes, nobody saw me. So my nasty ass unfortunately did, because I am on Strava and I'm competing with my homegirl about who connects our rings on my activity app, and a bitch was not gonna lose, so I kept going. Just, you know me, I'll shit in a bush, but I'm not eating off the floor.
Wow, dude.
You know what I mean? It's like, what would you rather do?
Right. And you know what I love best about Crystal's stories? is no one remembered that I was fucking in a sand dune in Florida and got caught by a helicopter.
Yeah.
Yes, they do. They wrote that down. They're going to have that visual tonight around 11:30 with some Aquafina.
They're going to be like, remember, Felicia on the beach, river, fingering, quarantine, Aquafina, yeah.
At the boulevard on Alyssa the bicycle, having diarrhea.
Oh, man.
My apologies, guys. My apologies.
Sorry, guys, sorry.
Keep going, Michael.
She Are we ready for Robert's stories? We ready to go?
I know. I've had 2 glasses of wine.
Yeah. Everybody's drunk or stoned or high.
All of the above. It's quarantine. What else we gonna do? Shut the bush.
Welcome, Gonzalo Perez. You came to the right place. All right. Continue, Michael.
Oh, so Robert, in his first story, so his son loved Easter when he was growing up. And so Robert would hide the eggs, and then he'd be like, yo, Wyatt, the Easter Bunny is out here. You got to come and check it out. And Wyatt would come down the stairs, and then you'd punk him. Easter Bunny was never there. It was a great bit. But, like, by the third year, he was just broken. It really bummed him out. And so, like, to cheer him up, he took him on a walk down on this river trail. He and Wyatt, they go on this walk, right? And they start finding eggs down there on the river trail. And eventually, they see this family. Turns out they're picking up these eggs with money and candy in them and shit. And they're really stealing these from this other family. But then, like, a half a mile later, they see a college couple just gluing down on the side of the river, right? Just doing a little bit of river fucking. And he asked years later if you remember that story, and the way that he's remembered this Easter is like, oh yeah, I do remember that, and you tell me that they were just dancing.
Jason, are you really itching?
No, so the last, that detail about, oh, I remember when they were fucking by the river and you said they were dancing naked, that makes the whole story believable to me.
Yeah, that's a really, really realistic detail.
I never heard the term gluing it down.
Gluing it down. Yeah.
Oh, believe me, you, that time gluing by the ocean down? Was Pablo. No, Pablo was gluing you down by the ocean that time.
Yes, he was.
Oh,
memories. Anybody have any questions? Anybody at all?
I'm thinking that his son maybe did come back and say this about an event, but somehow I feel like maybe the beginning part is made up, or maybe it's 2 stories molded together, so they're not true.
And maybe
I know a way to find out.
How's that?
Is he a Christian, right? Because a lot of white people don't believe in Easter.
That's a good question. I'll tell you, I am an atheist that celebrates Easter still. I believe in Easter candy and chocolate bunnies.
That's just like saying you're a Republican that goes to the MLK parade. That's a lie.
No, I mean, like, yo, it's like... I'm an atheist, but I'm not going to not do Christmas. I like the twinkle lights. I like the spirits.
Yeah, I mean, who's going to say, don't give me a Christmas present? I don't believe in God. I mean, come on, give me a Christmas present.
Ballad.
You know what I was thinking, though? I was thinking when you told that story, and then when Michael recapped it, it did sound like a complete left turn. Like, it was just sweet, ambling, like, piece of America that took place by the fucking levee in Sacramento, and it sounded very sweet. And then it just took this left turn where the second story, which Michael hasn't recapped yet, seemed more of like a thorough story with more detail.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Do you want to go ahead and do that second story, Michael?
Yeah, so Robert used to run RetroCrutch.com, which was a pop culture site, and he reviewed Devil's Rejects. He used to get to interview some cool people and shit, and he reviewed a Rob Zombie film called Devil's Rejects, and like 3 months later, he got an email from Rob Zombie that was like, hey, this is a fantastic review. You totally get it. This is exactly it. And I'm playing the Fat Cat in Modesto coming up. Do you want to come interview me before the show? So of course, Robert is like, oh, well, you guys are both Robert. That's funny. Robert's like, yeah, for sure. I'll go. So he goes, he shows up, shows up to the trailer. Actually, he gets in there and he's watching. What the fuck was he? Man versus Food, he wants to finish the episode. He for some reason wants to finish the episode before you guys can do the interview. Pretty disappointing. The guy doesn't even finish the burrito. You guys start the interview and a little bit into it, you ask him about Pee Wee Herman and being a part of that project. And he gets really weird and he kind of wraps it up being like, I think this should be over. And then you see you guys leave and you're going to go back to the show. The lady at the ticket booth doesn't see that your name is on the list. There's a chick with a Rob Zombie tattoo on her titty. You're like, that's bullshit. Look at this candy bar that I got from him personally. And then you got the flex even harder when the ticket lady was like, yo, Rob says you can come on in.
And then he waits. Yeah. Like I did on the Clint Eastwood movie, The Mule.
Sure did. Yes, you did, baby.
I will say this, a trailer story in Modesto does sound true.
Nice.
It ends up.
Yeah. Jason Borland says, a second story is so dumb it might be true. And Jason Marino says, I think Rob Zombie is supposed to be a distraction, but it's just true, as silly as it sounds. Fair enough. Fair enough.
Yeah. I think it's true. And I think the second one is a lie.
And Jason Borland said, was this on the second story or the first story? I think the second story, there was a lot of looking around when he was telling that story. But does that mean you think that means it's a lie, Jason?
Oh, he was looking at my tells, he's saying.
Yeah, so Jason, you're unmuted, Jason.
Yes, the first story, because, I mean, it has believable details, but he's practically a liar by birth. He's a comedian. We all know how this works, right? So he adds the details so that's very believable from something that happened, like Jessica said. Maybe it was some other time that his son said, oh, yeah, this happened. I saw this thing. But there was no Easter eggs. And there was a lot of looking around like, oh, hey, what's the next detail? Yes, uh-huh. I think the first story is a lie and the second story is true because it's so dumb. Why would you give a candy bar away? It's so dumb.
It's in rules.
All right. So you're saying, I'm sorry that I missed it, that him looking around, that was on the first story. He looked around a lot on the first story. Okay. So that's why you think the first story is a lie. Yeah. And like I said, it seemed like it just took this left turn out of nowhere. Even though he did bring like the call back about the kid saying, you know, yeah, that time when you said blah blah blah, yeah. Right.
Then how did the baby get from the second floor balcony? What did he leave? He said he was on the second floor and he just opened up the balcony and said, hey, come down here. How did he get down there? Did he leave towel bounds? How did he get down there?
No, we've got stairs in our house, so that's pretty cool. That's what we use. It's not just like a ladder to get to the second floor.
It's so funny.
It's harder being a Karen than you think, isn't it, Crystal? Yeah.
Said, you know those stairs you walk down? We taught him how to use that. It's just not for the dogs.
Robert has been asked the two dumbest questions that have ever been asked here, and he handled them perfectly.
Okay, Rabbit.
Help
the stairs. That was like a dream to me.
All right, let's take a vote. Jason Marina said.
Me too. Yeah.
First story is true. Second story is a lie. I'm going to say the first story is a lie and the second story is true. All right, everybody voted. Michael voted.
Second story lie.
All right, Crystal, what was your vote again? I'm sorry.
First story lie.
All right. Robert, Kia says first is a lie, second is true. Which story is the lie?
The Rob Zombie story is the lie. I interviewed him, but that all of those details were just made up.
Even the dumb one about the chocolate bar?
Yeah.
There's no titty tat.
No, none of that. None of that happened. I've seen him and I've met him, but that's about where it stopped. Those details with the interview and all the things afterwards were just where the truth stopped. But yeah, it all happened with my son for real.
Wow!
Crazy Easter story.
Wow. Yeah. Jason Borland says, and the Devil's Rejects is not cool.
I kind of liked that movie. I kind of liked it.
Oh, it's great.
By the way, wow, great game, you guys. You guys were so much fun. Robert, class A liar. I should expect nothing different from a gentleman that's bald from Sacramento wearing a Dungeons & Dragons t-shirt.
Though I do have a Dungeons and Dragons shirt, I'm not polyamorous, so that.
Crystal, you shared your diarrhea story by the side of the road. Good game. Good game.
Yeah, killer app. That was a good pod.
You guys are awesome. Thank you so much for spending part of your pandemic with us. And thank you, Jason. Thank you, Jason Marino, Jason Borland, Kia. Thank you guys for always playing along. Ken Lofgren, thank you very much. And where can people follow you? What do you have shaking? Are you doing a virtual show somewhere? Do you have anything you want to hawk?
Me or Bobby? Yeah.
Anyone.
Oh, Crystal Pal, Crystal P Comedy on all social platforms. And also make sure to go check out my website, Crystal Pal Comedy, because I have brought my Coffee with Crystal segment to IG Live on Tuesdays and Thursdays. So everybody check it out. Stay safe and don't eat no shit off the floor that got COVID contamination. I know y'all thought I ate off the floor because I was black. They was like, yeah, that bitch done ate some off the floor. I might have in the past. I've moved past saying God made dirt, dirt don't hurt.
Did you really wrap up a burrito and just unwrap it for no reason? Like,
no, but I put my tortillas after they were done. She told me that if I wrap them in a towel, it keeps them moist. And now Jess has said, on top of wrapping them in a towel, sprinkle some water on there and it's really gonna make it moist. Felicia, you will not make me feel bad about my elementary cooking over here. Baby steps. Baby steps.
That's not my intention. You are the queen. All right, Robert, how about you?
You can follow me on Twitter at RetroCrush. I like posting stupid dad jokes and one-liners all day long. So if you like that, check it out.
Awesome.
That's all I've got going on. The rest is just despair.
I like you, Robbie.
Hey. I like the rest of
I used to live in Vallejo, so we in the Bay together.
Bay all right.
Area. Yeah.
We could go to the Jelly Belly Factory sometime.
Let's go. I'm ready.
All right. What about you, Michael? What you got shaking that you want to talk about?
Let's see. At Michael Evans LOL on Instagram. Check out my podcast, Lunch Money, on Facebook Wednesdays at 1 p.m. And I don't know. Great episode. This is the most fun I've had since these quarantine episodes started. So Robert and Crystal, thanks. That was awesome.
Yay!
Thank you. It was hella fun.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Thank you once again for everybody that's playing along live. And know that if you're listening to us on Spotify or Podbean or iTunes, that we are playing live Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 7 o'clock. If you go to The Liars Club on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram, you can find we will be tweeting when and the links. Please come and play along, and we would love that. You can also follow me all across the board at Felicia Michaels. And if you have time on your hands, hello, you might want to go to Amazon and take a peek at Pervs, my documentary that I made with Joey Diaz, Felipe Esparza, Lori Kilmartin, or my special that I released last year called The Whole Story. Wow, I'm kind of focused for two glasses of wine.
Yeah. Oh, and an edible.
Well, I'm at Jess Wellington, too, on everything. And thank you, guys. And you have been lied to.
I'm not telling that one.
You're the real liar. Please stand up.
What? She's totally serious.
And you have been lied to.